This may be a great time to launch a new air show. New Mexico gets a new aviation czar. And ALPA applauds a prison sentence in a California laser attack. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 22, 2009. Air shows have demonstrated that they're at least resistant to, and maybe even aided by, recessions. So maybe 2009 is a great time to start a new one. The first Cocoa Beach Air Show is scheduled for Saturday and Sunday, October 3rd and 4th, with show center at Alan Shepard Park in Cocoa Beach, Florida. A number of military demo teams will appear, highlighted by the F-22 Raptor. Civilian performers will include Ed Hamill, Matt Chapman, Jason Newberg, and John Black. The show is free and open to the public. Organizers hope to fill the beach with tourists and hopefully draw some traffic as well to the Valiant Air Command Warbird Museum and the Kennedy Space Center. You can find out more at www.cocoabeachairshow.com. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson has named David Ploeger to head the New Mexico Department of Transportation's Aviation Division. He succeeds Thomas Baca, who is retiring after 5 years in the post. Prior to coming to New Mexico, Ploeger managed the Dinwiddie County Airport in Petersburg, Virginia. Continental Airlines Captain John Prater, president of the Airline Pilots Association, has been re-elected as a VP on the AFL-CIO Executive Council. The balloting took place at the Federation's convention last week in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Prater, who was elected president of ALPA in 2006 on a platform of more aggressive tactics against the airlines in contract talks, said of his return to the AFL-CIO's Executive Council, quote, "It's a tremendous honor and deep privilege to participate in the AFL-CIO and to join my union colleagues in defending the interests of working families. ALPA joins with unions across this country in seeking economic justice in the workplace and pursuing legislation and regulations that protect the rights of working men and women to organize and bargain for contracts that enhance our members' lives," unquote. The American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations includes 57 national and international labor unions with more than 11 million members. ALPA is the world's largest pilots union, representing over 53,000 pilots at 36 airlines in the U.S. and Canada. Earlier this month, a federal judge sentenced Baltazar Valdares of Roseville, California, to 37 months in federal prison. Valdares admitted to police that on the night of March 16th, he shone a laser into the night sky in the vicinity of the Sacramento International Airport and that he directed it at an airborne law enforcement helicopter. The police aboard the helicopter at the time were investigating an earlier report by an airline pilot that his aircraft had been lasered during landing at the airport. The Airline Pilots Association is applauding the tough sentence. Union President Captain John Prater commented, quote, "Shining lasers at aircraft in flight is a serious crime that jeopardizes safety and should be punished accordingly. ALPA commends the law enforcement agencies that helped apprehend and prosecute the individual involved in this case, as well as the judge for his strong sentencing," unquote. Captain Rob Powers, ALPA's National Security Chairman, added, quote, "This outcome should serve as a warning to others who may be tempted to endanger aircraft safety with lasers, that doing so comes at a very high price," unquote. Up next on ANN, a new tool straightens your crinkled Cessna. Dassault offers in-flight Wi-Fi in all its business jets. And New Orleans International Airport could soon be in private hands. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. We all know what rugrats are, but what's a rib rat? P&D Enterprises has developed a new rib alignment tool, or RAT, designed to enable aircraft mechanics to perform fast and accurate repairs to damaged flap, aileron, and elevator ribs. CEO and inventor Dan Harris describes the application. Quote, "While this type of damage is prevalent in all aircraft, It's especially problematic in high-wing Cessnas. From what I've seen, I'd say about 80% of these aircraft have some level of control surface damage. While it's hard to see, this type of damage results in changes to the airflow and will have a noticeable impact on the aircraft's performance, including its airspeed and control responsiveness. The RAT tool is a fast and inexpensive way for pilots to get back the performance they've lost, unquote. The patent-pending tool uses two outside manipulating rods and two inside stationary rods. Once correctly inserted into the trailing edge of the control surface ribs, it's a simple three-step process to straighten and align them. The RAT claims excellent consistency without placing added stress on the upper and lower skins of the control surface. Harris says using a big square screwdriver is a no-no. Quote, "This is delicate work, and if done incorrectly, will result in additional damage that will mean having to remove the control surfaces for more extensive and costly repairs," unquote. You can find more details at www.rattool.com. Dassault Falcon plans to become the first manufacturer to offer the AirCell high-speed internet system across its entire business aircraft product line. The Falcon 7X, 900 LX, EX, and DX, and the 2000 LX and DX will all get the option, allowing crews and passengers to use their portable Wi-Fi-enabled devices aboard the planes at 3G speed. Eric Monsell, Dassault Falcon VP for Programs, says connectivity comes up often in conversations with prospective customers. Quote, "People want to be as fully connected aboard their aircraft as they are in their office. The AirCell high-speed internet system is requested frequently because it fulfills that need, and no other solution on the market is as fast, light, and affordable," unquote. The commercial version of the service, called GoGo In-Flight Internet, has been chosen by airlines for installation on more than half the North American fleet. The FAA has accepted a preliminary application to allow Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport, which is owned by the city, to be leased to a private operator. There may be lots of red tape ahead, though. The Associated Press reports that the New Orleans Aviation Board will now set up a bidding process to select a company to manage the airport. That could take up to a year. That choice would then have to be approved by the New Orleans City Council, then be sent to the FAA for federal approval. Private management is made possible through a program set up by Congress in 1997, allowing airports to continue to collect fees and receive federal grants, but also allows the city to use lease revenue not needed for airport debt service for non-aviation purposes. Only Midway Airport in Chicago is currently using the program, although Congress has made provisions for up to five airports to participate. The Aviation Board says public input will be accepted during the process. The airport is currently undergoing a $350 million upgrade, which the city hopes to have completed in time to host the 2013 Super Bowl. Still ahead, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has begun its mapping run. NASA has applications open for a postdoctoral program. And TSA employees get closer to employment immortality. You're listening to Aeronews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 22nd. I'm Paul Platt. NASA says its Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has successfully completed testing and calibration and has entered its mapping orbit of the Moon. Mission managers say the spacecraft already has made significant progress toward creating the most detailed atlas of the Moon's south pole to date. LRO is scheduled for a one-year exploration mission at about 31 miles above the surface. That's the closest any spacecraft has orbited the Moon. The probe will map the surface in unprecedented detail, search for resources and safe landing sites for human explorers, and measure lunar temperatures and radiation levels. The south pole of the Moon is of special interest because resources such as water, ice, or hydrogen may exist there. If enough of those resources exist to make mining practical, future long-term human missions to the Moon and beyond could avoid hauling water there from Earth. Applications are being solicited for the NASA postdoctoral program at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The Human Adaptation and Countermeasures Division of the JSC Space Life Sciences Directorate offers unique research opportunities in areas of skeletal health, nutrition, and radiation and biological systems. These 1 to 3 year fellowship appointments are competitive, and they're designed to advance U.S. space exploration policy. Application deadlines occur 3 times a year, on the 1st of November, March, and July. Your research proposal must relate to a specific opportunity for research at NASA, be your own original work, and be coordinated with a sponsoring NASA scientist. The NASA postdoctoral program is operated by the contractor Oak Ridge Associated Universities. Find a link to more information at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated September 21st at aero-news.net. And finally today, let me apologize in advance for this rant. Two committees in the U.S. House of Representatives have now cleared H.R. 1881, better known as the Transportation Security Workforce Enhancement Act of 2009. The Dayton Daily News reports the bill has now made its way through the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and passed the Homeland Security Committee back in July. The bill includes provisions to allow Transportation Security Administration employees to unionize, which the bill's sponsors hope will make TSA screeners stick with their careers longer. It gives protection to whistleblowers, emplaces hiring preferences for veterans, and basically puts TSA employees on the same track to jobs for life enjoyed by employees of other federal bureaus. Excuse me, but I have a couple questions. Am I the only one who thinks this might be a bad idea? Is there nobody else who thinks the TSA has already gotten too big or too old? Would veterans who fought for our freedoms really want to come home and work for an agency created specifically to take them away without due process? Do we really want the people who've been pawing through your bags at the airport burning out in those jobs for 20 years? Don't we really want TSA folks to go back to their previous careers, where the most harm they can do is spitting in your hamburger? And excuse me for calling TSA a bureau. I know it's officially an administration. Do you know why nearly all of what were formerly known as bureaus in the federal government are now called agencies or administrations? My wild guess would be federal bureaus gave the word bureau a bad name. Well, I feel better now, at least until the next time I have to go through an airport. You're welcome to rant back. My address is paulp@aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, AOPA's Chris Dancy talks to ANN's Jim Campbell about last week's USA Today general aviation hit piece. Remember, too, that our short-form touch-and-go audio news has a new format. 2 minutes, 9 to 12 stories, all in headline form. It's the fastest way to get up to speed on the day's stories in aviation and aerospace. And you can do it while you drive or check your email. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to the AeroCast of your choice at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.